Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Robinson saves it into Kevin Knox. Knox step back, force the three. It's an air ball. Rebound Jaylen Brown. He will dribble out the clock, and that is only fitting. Everyone wanted to know what's going to happen when Jaylen Brown returns. Well, all he did was go for 21 in 25 minutes, and the Celtics answer their loss here to the Knicks 15 days ago with a blowout win. The final, Boston 128, New York 100.
I thought he was really good. I thought he played with great pace and purpose and made really good decisions. I didn't think anything was forced, which sometimes when you come off the bench, that's one of the things you try to catch up to the game quickly. He just played the right way.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, along with Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, talking Celtics with you at 617-779-0985. That was the final call of the Celtics' last game, their fourth win in a row, their 128-100 blowout over the New York Knicks, followed by head coach Brad Stevens talking about Jaylen Brown in his game-high 21 points. Jaylen Brown coming off the bench, Chris, first time this season, and I don't think there's any coincidence that he had his best performance of the year coming off the bench. The energy apparent from the start, going back and down, up and down the floor. Defense at times, he did have some guys shooting threes right in his face, but offensively, a very aggressive going to the rim. I thought it was a great night for Brown, and, you know, much like our regular show, it's been a month since we've done the Sports Hub Celtics show, and it's been quite a tumultuous month for the Celtics. Thankfully, it feels like they've
righted the ship here.
Yeah, righted the ship over this last stretch of, you know, this four-game winning streak, but boy, what a difference, because a couple of weeks ago, against this very Knicks team, it was the lowest of the low, and you had a lot of people, even the most hardcore green teamers who always see puppy dogs and rainbows when they see this team or want to talk about them, saying, what the hell's going on here? How can you lose to this team? And having Trey Burke, who was in the G League not too long ago, going off like another bum point guard, like that's happened time and again in this early season. So your thoughts on how the Celtics have looked since we last did this show and this recent winning streak that they've been on?
Well, I think they found some consistency in chemistry. And I think it's not a coincidence that you take two guys in Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris who know their games and know their roles and insert them into the starting lineup, and it starts to click. And that just lets everybody else sort of settle in too. I mean, the Gordon Hayward game, the 30-point game against Minnesota, I thought that was huge for his confidence. I love the way that he played in that game, and I think it takes a little pressure off of him coming off the bench. It's easier for him to get some of these shots, and maybe there's not the same level of pressure to sort of fit in, you know, with the starting group. So that's been good. And then you see the way that Jaylen Brown responds. So, look, by the end of the year, I think that they'll be back to that lineup. And they even had finished games with that lineup that wasn't working as a starting lineup. You know, when you look out there, the three wings, Irving and Horford. But right now, this is what's working. You're Brad Stevens. I think you have to roll with it because you've already ceded too much ground to a team like the Raptors for the top seed in the East to say, well, we have to worry about soothing egos now. You got something that's working. You have roles that guys are accepting and performing in. Go with this. And by the time we get to, you know, February and March, I promise you they will be revisiting that starting lineup. And at that point, with less pressure and more established roles and a more established pecking order, it probably will click.
That's a ways away. And, you know, the egos, I think, have been a bit of an issue for Brad Stevens to deal with earlier in the season. Feels like everything's calm now, but how sustainable is that? How, you know, Brown coming off the bench? If that's what we'll see come March, again, that's a ways away. Is he going to be able to keep everyone calm until that point, you think?
I think so. I mean, look, if you're Gordon Hayward and you're coming off the bench, you're scoring 30 points, and you're getting to play in the fourth quarter and you're finishing, I mean, what's the difference, you know?
That's what I say, but somehow it is. Like, to be in that starting five is obviously very important to players in that league. If the minutes in the number, you know, statistically, if everything evens out by the end of the night, it shouldn't really matter, but it does. It does.
Yeah, I guess it does, but also if you're Gordon Hayward coming back from that gruesome injury, I think in his heart of hearts, he knows he's not the same player right now, and he's working back to that point, and that should make it easier for him to accept that role, and I think it makes it easier for the whole team, because we've talked about this on the show. I thought that Gordon Hayward was getting his role in the starting lineup and getting his opportunities offensively based on reputation and relationship with Brad. Like I said, you know, little league dad. Like my son, Gordy, little Gordy plays no matter what, was what it felt like to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that was
and I think
pretty
it
annoying.
Was, I even, and I think it was hard for guys like Rozier and Brown and Tatum to sort of accept that larger role for Hayward when he hadn't really earned it yet and when they hadn't really seen it yet. And so now he's coming off the bench. I think it's a different scenario, and I think it helps. And I also think that two of your most passionate guys, two guys that will open their mouths and aren't afraid to tell teammates that, hey, you stink tonight, or hey, you played with no heart, are in the starting lineup in Smart and Morris. I think that helps too. I think that helps police the locker room a little bit, and it sort of sets a standard for effort and what's going to happen. The other thing I want to say about this, and you know, I know we're not quite on this yet, so I'm digressing a little bit. When I look at this team and their rough start, I think it's also indicative of Kyrie Irving trying to figure out and feel his way through being a leader. I don't think he's figured out how to be a leader yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And we'll get to some of his comments after this Knicks win, too, which I thought were a bit much.
That's foreboding. The music don't like
no,
that.
And I love him. He's my favorite player on the team, and I think he's one of the best point guards and best players in the NBA. But I'm with you on that. Like, well, since we haven't done the show together, that whole thing happened where he's talking about we need a leader in here, like a 14, 15-year vet.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And it's like, yeah, who are you essentially taking a not-so-subtle shot at, because you have veterans in the locker room. Yeah, I mean, Al Horford's been here in the league, 12 years?
Yeah, that's an interesting name you just brought up.
Well, right. Yeah, you hear things. Jimmy Stewart has his sources.
Yeah, Jay Stu.
Yeah, so what's the issue there? Like, what? So what? There was talk about maybe even bringing back Kendrick Perkins. That got shot down by Danny Ainge on Toucher and Rich about a week ago, because that was the first name I thought of. Like, Kendrick Perkins hasn't, you know, been viable in the league as a player for years, but I still think he could be good in the locker room to grab a jersey and yell at
someone. Chaperone slash elder statesman.
Yeah, but they
slash bodyguard.
They shouldn't need that with veterans like Horford, like Marcus Morris, like Marcus Smart. You know, he is a veteran on this team, and he's actually been one of the guys that I think has been the most self-aware on this team this year.
He's been very vocal about them not doing what they need to do, talking. You know, I'm trying to remember after which game it was that he said, you know, teams used to fear playing us. We used to be a hard team to play against. You know, we're not anymore. I think there was, after one of those games, it might have been the Portland game, or no, I think it was the Utah game, he said it was a slap in the face to Brad.
Yeah.
So he's been very vocal about, you know, what they haven't been doing. And so I think inserting a guy like that in the starting lineup, and Kyrie likes him being in the starting lineup, I think it's hard to sort of establish roles here. And I think we all think it's like, you know, NBA 2K, and you just toss your five best players out there and it should work. And it didn't. And I think sometimes you need to have established roles. You need to have guys that are willing to step back a little bit. Like, the best part to me about Smart and Morris in the starting lineup, like, Morris is a shooter, and we know this, but he helps space the floor. And he literally will be like, yeah, I'll set this pick, and then I'll pop out. And yeah, I'll just stand in the corner and wait for this three. He'll do that. And Marcus Smart is a guy that can affect the game without shooting the ball. When I looked at that original starting five, all those guys, as well as Al has played on defense, and I think he's like 11th in the NBA in blocks, like, they all need to affect the game offensively. You needed some guys that could affect the game without the basketball and without scoring. And now I think you have that in the starting lineup. And that opens it up for the other guys that need to affect the game offensively, like Tatum, like Irving. And even though Horford's not a pure scorer, he's going to affect the game offensively with the way he facilitates and what he can do to just sort of help the offense. So that opens it up for those guys.
Well, during this winning streak, the offense certainly has made a huge step forward. And maybe the one thing that's been missing this whole time, Chris, has been, what was that missing ingredient? Yes, fun. We're missing the fun. We'll hear from Kyrie Irving and how it's been more fun lately here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Coming up next year, you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I talked about it before. We should have fun, you know, kicking people's ass. We should. We really should. It should be competition itself. It should bring out the best out of you. I think the important thing to take away from our struggles early on was just how much, you know, how much of the fun we weren't having. You know, it just wasn't fun. It just wasn't good basketball. We weren't cheering for one another, and we weren't doing the little things. I think I said it in the last media session that we had in practice, just a different identity, you know, for us, just having a lot more fun.
You know, I should have counted. How many funs from Kyrie Irving after that win over the Knicks the other night? The fourth straight? I don't get it. Looked fun. Is that five funs? It's Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 is Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. I don't know. I'm probably making something out of nothing here, Chris, but considering how this team looked for the better part of the first month and a half of the season, I thought it was a bit of a cop-out thing to say. Where Kyrie Irving was saying a few weeks back, okay, we're lacking some leadership here. We need a veteran leader. He should be the leader of this team. Considering his resume and ring, even if he doesn't want to take that LeBron role, at times he sounded like LeBron. And tends to, like, you can't have it both ways. And it's not about fun. This is what I didn't like. It wasn't about fun. That wasn't the issue. The one thing that was missing from the offense in this team and their lack of success early wasn't fun. It's that guys had to put their egos in check. It's like he just didn't want to say that. So do you want to be a leader or not? Now, to his credit, it does look different in terms of, well, the fun. Last week, the win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, you saw that guys were genuinely happy for Gordon Hayward and that he had his best game. It was clearly his best game as a member of the Celtics. He looked offensively like, old Gordon Hayward pre-injury. And guys got up. They were pumped. He hits that garbage three to get to 30 for the night. And it's like, there was a real pop that he got from the bench. And it has looked more fun. But that's not what was missing here. Not at all.
No.
Brad Stevens has even said as much.
No, it's true. And it's like, obviously, winning is fun. I mean, they've won these four games, I think, by an average of 24-plus points per game. Of course it's fun when you're blowing teams out. That's not the mark of a championship team, though. Can you get through adversity? When things are not going your way, can you power through? Can you change the momentum? That's what ultimately is going to define the team. Yeah, I mean, unless basically the thing is they're going to be just a bunch of front runners. I mean, anybody can have fun when you're up by 24. Can you find a way to have that same spirit and rally back? And that's what's been so great about all the Celtics teams that Brad has coached. I mean, they've all had that ability. And that was sort of what Marcus Smart was hitting on earlier. The idea that the Celtics were a tough team to play against because they never gave up and they never gave in. And can they sort of get back to that identity and that mentality with a much more talented group?
Bring in Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. We're lucky enough to have him producing the show here today. At some point, I want to look up E-Rob and not see you behind the glass, but look, I understand how it is here. We all got to make ends meet. What are you seeing with this team right now? Go back to this game where Jaylen Brown comes back from this back injury. He's being more aggressive, getting to the hoop. And this is his bread and butter anyway. Like, are we going to see more of this? And is he going to accept his role, at least for now, being a bench player?
Yeah, I think he's got it, Jim. And Gordon Hayward's got the track record. Jaylen Brown really doesn't at this point. So, you look at his numbers for the season, guys, and he's shooting 24% from three. So as far as, Brad Stevens, kept that starting lineup together with a view on the long term, making sure, okay, this is probably our, highest potential lineup. But like Chris said, you have to start looking at the standings at some point. If you want home court, you can't let the Raptors get up by six or seven games. So clearly the fit is better with Jaylen on the bench, with Marcus Smart kind of doing the little things, protecting Kyrie Irving in the starting five on both ends of the floor, taking some pressure off him. And now Jaylen Brown is looking at this lineup and, attacking the rim again. He's kind of talked about it as this is what got him to the NBA in the first place. He was never known as a shooter coming out of the draft. He could get into the paint. Now we're seeing it. And, despite the fact he's shooting 9% from three in the last four games, he's shooting 61% from the field. So that tells me he's getting to the rim. He's doing it well. And he's just making the Celtics offense just, that much more dangerous here.
And I think I think the Celtics also had a little too much Houston Golden State envy. And it's like, we're going to put five guys out here and they're all going to shoot threes. And, I think guys have to have certain roles. So to B-Rob's point, for me, Brown's role is to be a slasher and a guy, one of their best guys getting to the free throw line. And that was the most encouraging thing for me against the Knicks. He got to the free throw line nine times. The Celtics are not a team that gets to the free throw line.
And he improved as a, hitting that wing three last year, but you just looking at him and the way he plays and his athleticism, like, it would frustrate me. Even points last year where he had a good year, get in the paint, go to the rim. Like, this is what.
This
isn't what the NBA is anymore.
But that's where, to me, it goes to coaching too and establishing roles for guys. Like, it's great to have positionless basketball and interchangeable basketball, but you can't have role-less basketball. And you get to a certain level with the team, and it's like, okay, this is what Jaylen Brown does well. This is what we need out of Jaylen Brown. So instead of saying, when you're out there, you just play like Gordon, or you just play like Tatum, you know, you can do all this stuff and we'll space it and it's going to be dribble drive and we'll kick it out and shoot threes. You sort of have to maximize what that guy does well and say, okay, yeah, we know Jalen can knock down an open three, but his role for us will be as a slasher. He's a guy that the defense will collapse upon. He can take advantage of some of the spacing and get to the rim. I think the Celtics sort of, it was a little bit too much of a, you know, we have all these great positionless players and it's a one size fits all approach. I think it was a little too much of that earlier in the year.
Go ahead, B-Rob.
Yeah, no, to Chris's point, like you just, sometimes you just need guys that are doing little things like Aaron Baines setting huge screens, like getting guys easy shots. There was no one that was doing it in the starting lineup. And then to that point, Marcus Smart, another ball handler, just another one of the best passers on the team. So you can get Kyrie Irving off the ball. He doesn't have to initiate the offense. He gets easier looks. He can work harder on defense because he doesn't have to chase around the point guard all game long. So you put all these like just little factors together. Like when we get to the postseason, will this lineup still be intact? Who knows? But for an 82 game grind, this kind of like a balance in a lineup, and again, having, you know, talking to members of the Celtics front office, you know, this summer, they were like, hey, if I was some of the guys in the starting five, even at that point, I might want to come off the bench because I'm probably going to get more opportunities that way.
Sure.
And that's where we're kind of seeing with Hayward and Jalen right now.
I'm glad you brought up Baines because I wanted an update on his, you know, rolled ankle from the other night. It looked like, well, he looked, you know, pretty hobbled, didn't come back. He's doubtful for tonight against the Bulls. What's his status? And the same with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, so he left before without talking to us after the game on Thursday night there. I'd expect them to be out for a couple games here. There's no risk right now. You have Tice. So literally, like...
But he wasn't in a boot or anything.
No, he wasn't in a boot. He was limping a little bit, but he didn't look too bad. So I wouldn't, you know, I didn't expect it to be like a high ankle sprain. The fact that he haven't ruled him out entirely tonight is a good sign in terms of, you know, I think he'll be back in a couple weeks at the worst. But yeah, like right now, this is the luxury of having, you have Daniel Tice, who honestly probably isn't playing enough minutes based on how good he's looked in times. And then you have Robert Williams too, that you can, you know, you have the backup at that position. So with Baines, given his age, given the fact he's dealt with injuries, you know, a bunch in the last couple seasons, just rest him up. Whenever he's ready, you get him back.
And Kyrie with the shoulder?
He was not even listed on the injury report. So it was funny after the game, guys, he was like, you know, we asked him what happened and he was like, yeah, I think I saw a doctor back there. He wasn't like trying to be very, you know, secretive about it. But yeah, I think it was just, he took a shot to his AC joint. He wasn't too worried about it. And the fact that he's not on the injury report looks like this is not going to be a long-term concern.
Well, I said yesterday, too, and I stand by this, and you know, I'll throw it out there, and then Chris and B-Rob will get your thoughts when we come back, because I also want to revisit Gordon Hayward's night last week. Looking at the schedule right now, they should be on a 10-game winning streak by the time that they go against the Milwaukee Bucks a few nights before Christmas. I believe that, because they're playing a load of crap.
Detroit basically blew that game last night against the Sixers, and I hope we have time during this hour. The Celtics aren't the only team where guys are not thrilled or struggling to find their roles, because Joel Embiid is not exactly thrilled with the new look Sixers offense that revolves around Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. Oh, I figured it was all a matter of time before that thing was going to end up blowing up in their face. Like, are we sure that Jimmy Butler going to the Sixers is really that good of an idea? But I really believe that. I mean, that might be a tough game a week from tonight at Detroit, but they're playing, you know, some real mediocre teams right now, and this is the time for them to get going, especially with the way that the Toronto Raptors are playing. So we'll get to that. And like I said, we'll revisit Gordon Hayward's big night last week against the Minnesota Timberwolves and continue to take your calls. Your thoughts on Jaylen Brown and anything Celtics related here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show at 617-779-0985. McCone, you got the computer working?
We're good to go, baby.
All right.
Yeah, very fired up.
McCone is back up and running. He's going to get you caught up in the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5.
Writing his lyrics this time.
Sports Hub and Chris Casper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down to 41 seconds to go. Kyrie in the paint. Push pass out to Gordon Hayward. He's going to take the three and looking for the dagger, and he drills it. Of course he does, because it's been Gordon Hayward's night. Coming off the bench tonight in Minnesota to drop 30 on the Timberwolves, and a huge road win coming Boston's way.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's slowly coming along. I think my confidence is slowly coming back, too. You know, I'm still not where I want to be, but for sure, me attacking is better for our team and not being hesitant and passive.
I want to go back to last Saturday. Gordon Hayward, like butter, against Minnesota Timberwolves, his signature game with the Celtics thus far, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, gets to the line 10 times, makes all 10. And the one thing that stood out to me, Chris, and B-Rob too, that was the most encouraging is that there was a real difference in Gordon Hayward in that game in terms of his confidence. He missed an early dunk, and they zoom in on him, and there's a facial expression that showed, like, enough of this. Like, something clicked in Gordon Hayward in that game, and there was less worry, because I think he's been playing with worry about, you know, that awful, awful leg injury. And there was times that in traffic in that game last Saturday, he looked strong. He was playing with reckless abandon. He was coming down in that leg enough that I was like, at home watching it. I don't think he's worried about it anymore. I think something clicked in his head in that game and just said, you know what, F this. I'm not worrying about this anymore. And I don't think it's a coincidence he has the game that he has and goes off for 30 points in that game. A little bit garbage because he hits that three at the end where the Timberwolves had completely given up. But that was extremely encouraging to watch that night.
Yeah, I think it obviously his best game as a Celtic, and he's still working his way back from this injury, which I think we've sort of forgotten about. And it's not just physical. I think that there's also some psychological trauma that he's had to work through with that. And at the same time, he played like 5 minutes and 15 seconds with the Celtics. He has no basketball relationship / chemistry, on-court chemistry with these guys. And this is a team that went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They have some aggressive young players who really haven't, to this point, I'm not saying they should have, but they haven't looked in any way, shape, or form like they're willing to sort of take a step back to say, the stage is yours, Mr. Hayward. So you're trying to figure out where you fit in. And I think that's why it's easier for him to come off the bench. You know, there's less pressure there for him and more opportunity.
B. Robin, just, you know, doing interviews, being behind the scenes, covering the team, do you just see a difference in him over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think, and leading up to that game, Jim, was the practice for that. Kyrie Irving talked about giving Hayward a pep talk in terms of, hey, like, you need to go be you, like, you know, take the reins off here. And we saw it in that game. And that was a situation where it's still going to be up and down for him, I think, for at least another couple months here. But the fact he get to that level, I think, is the most important part for the Celtics, because we hadn't seen that Hayward in over 2 years at this point. But the fact that he can get there shows him, probably it's a big confidence booster for him, shows his teammates that, okay, like, this is why we were giving him those extra minutes early in the season that was probably, like, you know, grinding your guys' gears a little bit because he hadn't earned it, but we know that he can get to this level. And I think credit to Kyrie in that game too, guys. He was looking for him all throughout the end of that game. Like, hey, like, Kyrie did not take a shot in the last 6 minutes of that game because he kept on looking for Hayward on the passes. He knew that, like, he had something going here. This could be a special night. And I think that's a credit to Kyrie that, like, you know, instead of going into takeover mode, he can, you know, is becoming a more and more willing passer now.
That's a great point by B-Rob, because I think just take Kyrie out of it. That's something the Celtics have not done well this year, is recognize when a guy's having a night and subjugate their own ego and say, this is Gordon's night, or this is Jason's night, or, you know, Kyrie, it's every night is Kyrie's night,
right?
But this is Jalen's night. Okay, I got to get out of the way here and get this guy the ball because he has it going. They haven't done enough of that this year.
Paul in Somerville, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Jaylen Brown real quick. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you got to get this guy out of town. He can't fit in, his ego. Well, he's 21 years old. He's still a very young player. So he's had no problem developing coming off the bench. And I think he's smart enough to realize he can get more opportunities off the bench, and also realize this quote-unquote problem with the team is a one-year problem. Marcus Morris is not going to be here next year. Neither is Rozier. The more work these guys put on the bench to find themselves is going to translate even more next year, so it's going to be more minutes to go around.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I wanted to bring up the schedule, too, like I said prior to the commercial break, that I think this team should be on like a 10-game winning streak heading into the game against the Bucks on Friday, December 21st. And looking at it, okay, so they've won now four straight. They're at the Bulls tonight. That should be a win. That's a bad team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Bulls just beat the Thunder, and they have Lowry Markkanen back. So,
yeah.
I mean, I agree with you, but it's not as much of a cupcake as it looked like before.
But, Chris, I mean, you know, considering the hype surrounding this team, and I think rightfully so, going into this season, what the expectations are, I mean, this is now the time.
No, this is the time to make up some ground. You are
ripping off some wins. Okay, so I like a win tonight in Chicago against the Bulls, even if they're a little banged up and Baines isn't playing. They got the Pelicans, your only Anthony Davis appearance of the year, coming up on Monday. Kind of a quick turnaround, but that's a bad team that they handled, you know, in New Orleans a few weeks back. They got the Wizards, who are a dumpster fire on Wednesday, and it feels like that's going to get blown up at any moment.
Yeah, the Wizards have won three in a row, though.
The terrible Hawks.
Yeah, they're dreadful. No argument there.
And then, okay, the one that you think is a little bit tough, the Pistons.
I think that's a tough game. I mean, yeah, I do. I mean, you're on the road. I think Detroit feels sort of underlooked so far in the East. They've had some good games, particularly some good battles with the Sixers. I don't think that's a gimme. I separate that out from the rest of the teams that you're talking about.
And then Phoenix in Boston on Wednesday the 19th, and they're a complete dumpster fire. What was the did you see the DeAndre Ayton interview from earlier in this week? So, I mean, they were down.
That was
like,
wild.
Yeah. Fill it in, because you can sum it up better than I can right now. But he essentially talked about like how they had quit right now, and it's looked that way when they're down like 40 points in the first quarter in their last couple of games.
Exactly. That's he's like, you know, we're not going to come back in the game when we're down by over 20 in the first quarter. And then lo and behold, that's the exact same thing they do the next night.
Yeah. It's you know, without Devin Booker, they've just given up. So I just look, considering the expectations and how they're going to try to make up a little bit of ground here on Toronto, who've been steamrolling just about everybody in the league right now, this is the time to do it. And remember, was it last January that the Raptors were behind the Celtics four games, and then they end up becoming the number one team in the East. So six right now, it feels a little bit big, but there's still enough time here for the Celtics to make up.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, overall, and I know I was sort of just raising caveats there, because it's interesting, because I feel the same way about the stretch, even though it might not seem like I do. They got to make some hay here. It's just interesting that as these games actually approach, you're like, oh, man, well, now the Wizards have won three in a row, and it's like Chicago, you're like, oh, they just beat the Thunder, and Markkanen's back. It just sort of feels like they should beat all these teams, but these teams were at their absolute worst, you know, like when you looked at the schedule a week ago, and now all of a sudden even these games seem like they could present more resistance than you thought for the Celtics.
Patrick in the car, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going? So I just had the thought, too. I know you guys were talking about a little while ago. You guys, I think it was Murray, made a really good point about how Smart and Morris talk a lot in the locker room and try and put their egos aside from like the original starting five. But I feel like Brad Stevens should play more of a role in kind of determining like who gets more minutes than others, because I feel like and going back to when Doc Rivers was the coach, he was really like black and white on who played and who didn't, like with the whole Allen, KG, Pierce, and like Rondo thing. And I feel like he just played more of a role in that. And I feel like Brad Stevens needs to play more of a role rather than just kind of just sitting back and letting, like, for example, Tatum just huck up long twos and whatnot, unlike how he played last year. But that's all I had to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, well, Patrick. I mean, I think it's a challenge, obviously, for Brad, too, to have this amount of talent and depth. And he's working through it as well. I mean, you have to sort of find the right kind. You know, Brad has a tough job because not only do you have to find the right combinations that work for the team collectively, but individually, you're trying to keep each guy happy and engaged. Do you feel like that's been easy to do this year with Terry Rozier?
No.
I feel like Terry Rozier has basically subtweeted this entire Celtics season.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Dan in Middleborough has a thought on Terry Rozier. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about Rozier seems to be the only player that we're still holding on to this season so far. Like, why haven't we traded him for assets yet? Like, I know that we're keeping him for backup, but I just think that he goes out there, his threes against the Knicks, they were all forced. The ones he missed, they look even worse than some of the ones he made. So I just want to know your thoughts on why we're keeping him for so long, and do you think we're going to keep him for the end of the season? Thanks, and great show you guys have there.
Thanks, Dan. I'll defer to you on this, B-Rob, because you're around the team, you cover them, and when it was the lowest of the low for them when they lost to the Knicks a couple of weeks back before Thanksgiving, it felt like Terry Rozier was the proverbial turd in the punch bowl, and he was going to be traded at any moment. That obviously hasn't happened. So what's going to happen here, and realistically, what kind of return could they get if they do end up moving on from him?
Well, I think the biggest thing for Celtics fans to look at with Rozier is like, okay, what is this team trying to do this year? They're trying to win the championship. Trading Rozier, I don't think you're going to get back equal on-court value for him. Yes, you get a draft pick. Yes, you get maybe a young guy with some promise, but you're not going to get someone as good as with him. So I think the front office looks at it and says, okay, like as long as he's not being, you know, a problem behind the scenes, which it sounds like he's not, and I think he's kind of, with Smart's move to the bench, I think he's kind of built a rhythm with Hayward a little bit going forward in the last four or five games. It hasn't been always smooth, but I just look at it, I don't think they're going to move him with guys, because I think they need him for insurance, and if they want to truly win this year, they're not going to get something as good for him. So you might as well just roll the dice, and also you could potentially use him in a sign and trade in the offseason, which is, I think, an important option for them to have as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, B-Rob knows that stuff better than I do. I just look at it, I think the number one thing is, you know, he's Kyrie insurance if something happens to Kyrie again. And I thought he actually played well the other night against the Knicks. I'd have to disagree a little bit with Dan. You know, he was plus 17 That was the best that they had out there. 3 of 7, hit 3 of 6 from three. And I thought there was good chemistry in the five-man unit that was the three wings, Rozier and Theis. I like the way those five guys played together. I like that unit. That was good. It's really one of the only times this season that I can remember off the top of my head seeing the three wings out there together and feeling like it worked. And it was with Rozier, you know, playing the point and Theis as the big guy. So I think Terry Rozier is still important to this team. You know, he's obviously one of the guys being asked to sacrifice the most, but we've talked about it a million times, Jim. You know, I think it's easier for everybody on the Celtics to sacrifice when they're winning. When you're 10-10, everybody feels like, well, I should be playing more because I could help. You know, we wouldn't be 10-10 if I got more minutes. But when everybody's winning, it's a little bit easier to sacrifice.
Coming up, Chris, I know you want to touch on some of the comments made by Joel Embiid. Seems like he's frustrated with the 76ers adding Jimmy Butler to that team. Do you know what weird Celtics Twitter is? By any chance?
I don't. What's weird Celtics Twitter?
We're going to learn about weird Celtics Twitter. It's a thing. And the king of weird Celtics Twitter is Max Letterman of NBC Sports Boston. We're going to talk
to him Max,
about weird Celtics Twitter coming up. And we'll find out what's next for the Celtics coming up in our long commercial-free segment here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is The Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dribble drive, the handoff to Markkanen at the top of the circle. 7 seconds to the rim. Remy got it with 4.9 seconds left. Larry Markkanen has put the Bulls in front, 114-112.
Welcome back, Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. What's next for the Celtics? That team that beat the Thunder last night. The Chicago Bulls, Lauri Markkanen, coming up clutch in the Bulls' 114-112 win. And like you said, that team, you know, not as... They've been in a little bit of a streak here, so now...
Yeah. Oh, no, they're terrible. But, I mean, Markkanen's, you know, I would argue their best player. I mean, Zach LaVine's averaging 24 a game, but Markkanen can play, man.
Yeah.
That's all the more reason that Jimmy Butler deal looks bad for Tibbs, because it was the Markkanen pick that allowed... You know, from Minnesota that allowed the Bulls to get him.
So you think that this might not be as much of a pushover as I think it should be? Because again, I think the Celtics should be on a 10-game winning streak for their next. And by the time they get to their next real tough opponent, and I think that's the Bucks on the 21st. But be that as it may, it's Celtics and Bulls tonight with an 8 o'clock tip off. As the Celtics go for 5 wins in a row, you can catch the call of the game with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell over on our sister station 105.7 WROR. If you spend some time on Twitter at all or on social media at all, you have, and you're a Celtics fan, at this point, you've probably heard about weird Celtics Twitter. You hadn't known about this, Chris?
No, I don't know about this.
I've known more about this here over the last couple of weeks, and the guy who's heading this up is Max Letterman, NBC Sports Boston. You can usually catch him in the post game of the Celtics games over on NBC Sports Boston, talking with Kyle Draper and others, talking about some of the tweets throughout the game and weird Celtics Twitter. Max Letterman joins us here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Explain this for the uninitiated, if you would, Max.
That's it. Just going to set me up to explain it. Okay, well, let's start from the beginning. No, it's complicated. It really is. It's just it's like, you know, Homo sapiens. They say they started, you know, we're like 200,000 years old, but that's just because that's one of the first one we can find. So I don't know how long weird Celtics Twitter has been going on, because some people say Kendrick Perkins memes were a thing back in like 2009. I'm not quite sure, but it started for us last year when Jim Abernathy, you guys both know, the great producer for Celtics pre and post game, he finally said yes for me to put a weird anecdote on Marcus Smart's name key for the post-game show, and I put that he leads the league in grit and combat muscles, and that got screen grabbed and turned into a thing. And then Sean Hyken, who writes for Dime Magazine, he reached out and did a whole piece on it, and that got Scalabrini's attention, and so that's kind of the snowball effect. But Weird Celtics Twitter is just a bunch of Celtics fans that make memes during the game and tweet them out, and it's just an eclectic group that, you know, they just don't like cowards, fascists, or social norms.
But have you guys, because I feel like you're the one that's heading this up too, Max, but are you guys the ones, and these guys that are tweeting, guys and gals that are, you know, part of Weird Celtics Twitter, that have come up with some of the nicknames like Time Lord for Robert Williams?
Yes, Time Lord. I believe that was the Riffs man. He's the guy that probably deserves the most credit. Huberto Riffs, he's a lifelong Pelicans fan, 69, I believe is his handle on Twitter. He kind of is the leader of the group, I would say. He started posting Robert Williams memes during the college season last year. We all know he was just supposed to go like 13th in the draft, and he fell to the Celtics at 27, so it felt like fate. And then Robert Williams had some issues with time management his first like 2 days as a professional, so the nickname Time Lord came out, and it's stuck, and people have embraced it. And, you know, Tom Giles actually had a great tweet the other day saying that anytime Robert Williams makes a block, shouldn't it be a clock block? And I think we need to get that going.
Oh, man.
And have you guys come up with any nicknames that haven't stuck with any of the players?
Well, I don't think any of the players really like any of their weird Celtics Twitter memes or names, but, you know, it's not really for them to say, is it? But, I think there was a couple people pushing for Smarticus, for Marcus Smart. And, you know, really, if you want a nickname to stick, you kind of have to get Scal on board because, you know, he is so much, you know, he talks about the team so much on TV. And Scal poo-pooed Smarticus, but Scal's also the guy that gave him the Cobra nickname, so... And that's pretty, you know, pretty awesome. So I think we can go with that.
Now, in the post game, just before we wrap up here, Max, in the post game the other night after the win over the Knicks, you were wearing a weird Celtics Twitter shirt. Is that just a one-off that you made for yourself, or are those going to be available to purchase anywhere?
Well, enough people have asked me if they're available to purchase, so I may have to just sell them out of the back of my car. But it is a one-off that I got from Zazzle, and they actually sent me the incorrect color of the shirt the first time, so I do have an extra one. So there are two. I may auction the second one off, but I just bought that myself, and it was a Halloween costume, and it's great.
Yeah, you gotta get on that. I regret having not made shirts with stuff I've come up with and said before, and it's now too late. So get on that while the getting's good. Will you be on the post game tonight?
I will.
All right, Max Letterman, NBC Sports Boston. Catch him on the Celtics post game, usually with Kyle Draper and Brian Scalabrine. Thanks for taking the time, Max.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Heading up weird Celtics Twitter. It's a thing, man. I'm telling you. Twitter is...
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this.
It's mostly a cesspool, Twitter. Okay. Full in, you know, you can put, as I've said before, you could tweet the word the, and you'll have at least five people angry at you for no apparent reason. But weird Celtics Twitter, it's a party. Quickly, before we wrap here, I know you wanted to touch on this. The Pistons ended up beating the 76ers last night.
The 76ers came back behind a stellar effort from Jimmy Butler. Joel Embiid got rest. He was off this night.
Okay, so sorry.
But his mouth was still working.
My apologies. Yeah, so it was the Sixers that ended up beating the Pistons. But, as you say, Embiid missed his first game of the season to quote-unquote rest. And here is the quote. He tells Philly.com, "I haven't been myself lately. I think it's mainly because of the way I've been used."
Oh, it's good. Go on. It gets better.
Which is, "I'm being used as a spacer, I guess. A stretch five."
A stretch five. That's my favorite.
"Which I'm only shooting 29% from three-point range. But it seems like the past couple of games, like with the way I play, are set up. Coach Brown always has me starting on the perimeter, and it really just frustrates me." Someone's a little angry about the new addition of Jimmy Butler to this team.
Doesn't like it.
Felt like it was all a matter of time.
Called himself a stretch five. Tremendous. So that just, you know, Jimmy Butler not connecting with young superstars on a team. Oh, what a shock. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know, you know, it's...
And I'm not necessarily blaming Jimmy Butler. He's played well for them, but it's...
We have a track record here with this player.
He seems to have a hard time reaching out. It seems like, you know, Jimmy shows up and Jimmy says, "Hey, man, this is my team now."
No commercials here. Tim McCone, he has his computer working, unlike Chris's computer, which is failing him. Again, ghosts in the machine here in this room. I don't know what's happening. But McCone's going to get caught up in the Sports Hub headlines. And we'll come back, and we'll get to the final hour of Gasper and Murray. Yes, we're finally back together for the first time in a month. And I know you have some thoughts on the Nathan Eovaldi signing that the Red Sox brought him back this week. We'll get to that coming up next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.